Hello, I'm Curtis Bowers, and this is Agenda Weekly. Thank you so much for joining me again this week. I really appreciate it. Those watching on Rumble, please like, follow, and share. We'd really appreciate that. Thank you, subscribers, for what you do to support us and to keep us moving forward in our fight for truth. And we've been on the road, as you can see. I'm in the back of our motorhome, and we have been in Minnesota this week in a bunch of different towns. And last night, we were in Dent, Minnesota, a small town there, but had a wonderful meeting, and it was so fun meeting so many of you. And it's been a blessing for us to get out and see America, see that in every town, whether it's a small town or a big city, there's groups of people that love this country, they love God, and they're very concerned about the direction we're heading. And it's been a blessing. Please keep us in your prayers as we are traveling, because there's always so many different obstacles that come up on the road and just getting tired and everything. Today, I'm going to play clips of this interview with Greg Stenstrom. If you haven't heard of him, I think you'll really enjoy this. And I'm going to have a lot of different comments through the interview that I recorded of him. But Greg Stenstrom is a decorated Navy vet, but has dug in to study something that we all need to understand. We've labeled it many different things, the deep state or whatever it might be, but he found a group that literally calls themselves the Council, started in the 70s, and he'll explain the details of that and how they make the decisions about what is going to happen in our country. They tell the president, this is what you have to do. And they've been doing it for 50 years, and it's very interesting information. I think it'll be important for you to understand. He'll talk about how they are planning to steal this election and how they're planning to do that, and some things we can do to say, no, thank you, we want a free and fair election. But anyway, it's just, I think it'll be very valuable. I watched it about a month ago and have been thinking about it. And I said, I'm going to edit that up where I can use it, because it's just really important information. But thank you so much for joining me today. I appreciate it. And I hope this will be a blessing to you. This first clip I'm going to show is kind of answering the question, who is in the coup against our country? We know on January 6, 2021, there wasn't an insurrection by us. There was a coup by them. And it's crystal clear that that's been going on for decades. But he wrote an article outlining when the council was formed and who's in it. And here's the first clip that kind of explaining this idea that I think is very important to understand.
Let's get into it. So the premise of the article and the reason for the show today was there's a control group within this country that was developed in 1978 in response to the Watergate scandal, for the people old enough to remember that, with Nixon and so forth. And there was the creation of a group called the Council. The Council is what they were originally created as. It's also known as the SIGI. CIGIE, but I'm going to refer to it for the council to keep people on track. And what they've done is they initially formed for, I think, good. The Inspector General Corps, combined with the FBI and the Department of Justice, they were what's called a sui generis operation, a group of untouchables. Sui generis means unto themselves, so that they could investigate anyone, including the President of the United States, members of Congress, the Senate, global oligarchs, masters of business. So I think the group was originally formed, I'm going to say, whether it was good intentions or not, but they created a tremendous amount of power and put it in a small group of people's hands. And what's happened is that has been twisted over the last 50 years. And this group has become basically the people who run the United States of America. And, you know, to say them by name is the simplest thing, but the council currently, the top level of the council, is Inspector General Michael Horowitz, FBI Director Christopher Wray, U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland, the Director of Office of Professional Responsibility, Jeffrey Ragsdale, the Chief Public Integrity Sector, called the PIN, which is Corey Amundson, and Deputy U.S. Attorney Lisa Monaco, and First Principal Deputy Marshall Miller. That group is at the pinnacle or the head of the council. And they have the power to indict anyone they want, and they've done so. They indicted President Trump. They have the power to hold investigations or obstruct investigations. And that's where I originally touched on them in the group I'm working with that includes Dr. Sindelar. They originally contacted me. We were classmates as well. But the obstruction of the massive election fraud of 2020, the obstruction of investigations, is where I came into contact with them.
I think it's so interesting how he came across it as he was investigating election fraud. And why isn't this being investigated when it was clearly election fraud in 2020 and stuff? That's when he came across the people that are making all the decisions and realized, oh, this is supposed to be a council for accountability in government. But of course, captured by those that go, no, no, there is no accountability in government. We will take everyone's request for, could you check this out, and say, oh, sure, we will. But then, of course, we don't, because we're the ones that were the instigators of the fraud or whatever. This next clip explains how they've weaponized Washington, D.C. against the people and whoever was the president. He either had to submit and be a puppet, or he would be destroyed, as we saw with President Trump. But William Barr, Robert Mueller, and others he will talk about are part of that council, which then makes sense. That's why they betrayed us. That's why they betrayed Trump. William Barr telling Trump, yeah, I'll look to see if there was election fraud or not. But he's on this council who did the fraud. And then came back to Trump, no, there was none at all. I've checked, and sorry, there wasn't any. And he didn't check anything because the evidence was overwhelming. But anyway, watch this clip.
But they basically weaponized government agencies by placing inspectors general in each of these government agencies, the CIA, NSA, pick an agency. They've got an inspector general in there. And that inspector general reports to Inspector General Horowitz. And that group is what really controls the United States. And some of the emeritus, it's an organization that's got an emeritus, but other former and still current members include U.S. Attorney General William Barr, Attorney General Jeffrey Rosen, Richard Donahue, former U.S. Attorney General, FBI Director Andrew McCabe, Robert Mueller, James Comey. This is the pinnacle. Jack Smith is included in that group, who's running the indictments against President Trump. And what we did in the article, and when we were putting the article together, we tried to make it as simple as possible and gave a litmus test and tests to say that no matter who you are in the government, no matter what level, whatever agency, including President Trump, everything boils down to the council. And one of the things we gave was the assassination attempt of President Trump. So basically, who could have coordinated that and who is now investigating that? So when you go up the pecking chain, you go to Secret Service, to the Department of Homeland Security, and then you end up with the council, the FBI. And if you go back to the testimony, we had Cheadle, who was insolently refused to answer questions for the Congress. Then we had Christopher Wray, who insolently refused to answer questions of the Congress. And when you go up to one more level and you say, well, who would investigate him or who would investigate Cheadle? You come to the council. You come to Inspector General Horowitz, and that's the pinnacle of the council.
What's amazing about that last clip to me is so many of those people he was naming that are in the group, I've studied them before. They're all anti-American to the core. The whole history politically, wherever they've been involved, many of them have ties to communist groups that I've seen in the past. It's like, of course, the communists have penetrated the council to be in control. But it's important to realize the control, though, group is a very small group. And that we're not helpless. It's not like millions of people. It's a small group. And so, really, by them exposing themselves and doing these corrupt things, we have a blueprint to know, okay, here's the people. Here's most of the people on the list. So these are the people we need to remove and then have a criminal investigation into and then put in prison for the rest of their life. I like it, at least it's a plan there where you see who you're up against. Sometimes when the enemy is invisible, it's kind of overwhelming, like, oh, we just can't do anything. Oh, yes, we can. It's a very small group. But anyway, watch this next clip.
The reason we authored the article is, number one, to actually give people hope. What we don't want to do is we don't want people to feel they've worked very hard at making people feel like any efforts they make are futile. And that's not so. And one of the things they do is they hide their relatively very small numbers with diversions. So when people say the deep state, or they say the cabal, George Soros, aliens, Obama, Michelle Obama, Hillary Clinton, they're always pointing to different people. This is the people that run the country, and they do so through multiple means. They're a Praetorian Guard that has turned against the public. And they do that through a political arm, an intelligence arm, an infiltration arm, a business arm, a propaganda arm, and an entertainment arm. These are people that are very well organized, and they've been working on a plan that was actually formulated over 100 years ago, but fully implemented 50 years ago. And they have been working on one thing, and that is the extraction of wealth from the United States.
Of course, the plan he was talking about from long ago, we've talked about on Agenda Weekly in my episode entitled Understanding the Deep State. It was all started by Cecil Rhodes in 1887. It's a great episode to go back and watch. If you haven't seen it recently, you can flip back through the episodes. We'll try to put a link below for that episode. But it shows this has been a carefully premeditated plan for 150 years, how to get global control and then to institute totalitarian measures so you can rule the world, which is their goal. To them, this next clip will show, and it's something that's important to understand, we're just like livestock to them. If they have to kill one of us, or a million of us, it doesn't mean anything. It's like us stepping on ants or something. It's like, whoops, you know, it doesn't have any relation to our conscience or anything else. The Green Movement, of course, is a shield to legitimize the elimination of the billions they want to eliminate over the next few years. But they have come against Trump, as we all saw, since 2015, because they didn't want him to step into this world that he's been a part of, the elitist world, but he was just a businessman in it. But as he stepped into it, they know this guy could possibly destroy the machine we've set up.
They look at us, they look at me, they look at everyone in this audience as livestock. They really do. They look at us as stewards of a farm with positive and negative values. When Ben Franklin handed us, when he spoke about handing us a republic, he said, it's up to you to keep it. So it requires our participation. And the point of the article was to expose this relatively small group of people so that the people would know who to fight. The first thing, the first rule of warfare, the first rule in any fight is you've got to know who the enemy is. You have to put a face to them. And what we've done with this article is put a face to them and explain how they work, what they do, and who has the power to stop it. The President of the United States has the power to stop this, in particular, President Trump. They're scared to death of him because he does have a bead on who they are. They know he's got a bead on them. They've got him completely bracketed and surrounded. And they're quite frankly, I think they're very, very concerned that once he gets in, if he gets in, that he will work to dismantle that organization.
Trump might destroy the organization, and that's why they're so against him. There has never been an attack on any individual in America like there's been against President Trump, who is a billionaire, former president, and the lawsuits just keep coming. I believe there'll be another assassination attempt. We need to be praying for him, because they know the easiest path forward is to eliminate him, and then they're just dealing with regular old Republicans and Democrats that are very easy to manipulate. Here he talks about the desperation of the assassination attempt, but also it was the logical step that needed to be taken, and I think will be tried to be taken again. But they've pulled off so many abuses and crimes over the years. Over the last 100 years, as you pull back the curtain, you see, oh my goodness, just assassination attempt or accomplishment in America or other countries. We know that our CIA has eliminated 83 leaders of countries since their founding, at least, that we know about. So they're not fearful of the law. They know, nope, we control the media. So when we assassinate John F. Kennedy, we will tell everyone, if you don't believe our story, then you're a conspiracy theorist and a crazy and not to be listened to by anyone. But that's where we are. They think they're above the law and will continue to do whatever they think is necessary to accomplish their goals.
I wouldn't say that they panic about anything. These are cool cucumbers. They've been able to step around landmines that have blown up on them. This is a cool group of people, and they have they wield a tremendous amount of power. They wield the power of the FBI. They wield the power of the CIA. They wield the power of Congress and the Senate, people who are beholden to them. They wield a tremendous amount of power. But with that comes a downside. In wielding that power over the last 50 years, they've made their own enemies. And both on the left and the right, up and down, they have made a tremendous amount of enemies in the control of the population. And what you're showing on the screen there right now is the political arm. A lot of people think, most people think that this group would report to the president. They think, well, Obama's in charge. And what happens is the council does not work for the president. The presidents and the people that you're showing on the screen there work for them. And it's very timely, even though this article came out a few weeks ago, Jamie Raskin, who's listed on there and pictured there, who was the person who said the Congress will not allow President Trump to be seated.
You know, they want to kick it to Congress, so it's going to be up to us on January 6, 2025, to tell the rampaging Trump mobs that he's disqualified. And then we need bodyguards for everybody and civil war conditions, all because the nine justices, not all of them, but these justices who have not many cases to look at every year, not that much work to do, a huge staff, great protection, simply do not want to do their job and interpret what the great 14th Amendment means.
On a side note from that last clip, Jamie Raskin, who was talking there, his father is a famous communist from the Communist International. So he was a red diaper baby raised by literal card-carrying communists. And so this is what his whole life has been about. I must destroy America so we can have a Soviet America, Soviet world in the future. Did you hear what he said, though? He said it's going to create the conditions for civil war, which it will. If they kill Trump or if they steal the election again, where it's obvious it was stolen, it will do that. And it will be another coup January 6th of 2025 if Trump gets elected and they say, no, we're not putting him in office because he's a criminal. And maybe that'll be the trigger where, okay, it's our time to fight for our country. I don't know. But January 6, 2021 was their first coup, and they need another one because people aren't buying into what they're selling. People are like, no, we want to go back to the prosperity and blessing of the Trump era and before, but that's not what they have in store for us. This next section talks about just how the council has killed leaders all over the world, started wars all over the world, been involved in criminal enterprises all over the world. Most of the drug dealing of the world is orchestrated through the CIA. They've been one of the primary drug lords for 60, 70 years. Human trafficking. The United Nations and the American deep state government are responsible for a huge portion of the human trafficking worldwide, and it's pretty amazing. He's also going to talk about voter fraud here. This section is important because he's going to tell us what's going to happen on this election day, but then what we can do to stand against it. This is really, I haven't heard anybody talk about this and how we need to hold them accountable.
And the other thing I ask people to do all the time, and the things that I write and the books and the articles I put together, is people need to learn to trust their eyes and their ears, and not let somebody chew their food for them and tell them how it tastes, and not tell them what they're hearing and say, well, you're not seeing what you're seeing. So no matter what your theory is, and Ray and Cheadle aren't forthcoming in terms of what happened, they've refused to tell the Congress what was happening, and they refused to report to the people via their representatives to Congress. And that shows their contempt. But to say that there wasn't a gunfight there, there was AR-15, fire coming in, there was 30 caliber fire going out, there was 30 caliber fire coming in, and then they say, well, there was only one shooter. Who were they shooting at? You have to scratch your head and just listen to your own ears and believe your own eyes. And this is part of exposing the council for who they are, because once people start listening and looking at the 2020 election and the upcoming election, they stole the 2020 election. You can see with your eyes. We have the evidence. It's a matter of judicial and public record. They may say, well, we're not in control, but who removed President Biden? Who removed him? Who did he report? He said, well, I'm turning our government over to my cabinet, or I'm turning it over to the bureaucracy. These are smart people that have been doing this for a long time, powerful people. But I would say that once they're exposed, what my hope is, this isn't Greg Stenstrom or any particular group against the world. By exposing them as enemies, the Congress can see them, the Senate can see them, the business people can see them. There was an attempted assassination on President Trump. They've removed President Biden. They projected Harris as the presumptive nominee. But what they really communicated, and this is something I wanted to bring out on the show that people have to be prepared for, is they have every intent of stealing the election again on November 5th. No matter what the results are, no matter how many people turn out, no matter what the evidence is, no matter what your eyes and ears, tell you, they're going to come out and say, President Harris won the election. They're going to do that on November 5th. Well, the counter of that is, we've developed a plan. And the plan is basically what they didn't have in 2020 is they didn't have an evidentiary base. When people went to vote with their, ballots, they were told that someone had already voted for them, and then they couldn't vote, or they gave them a provisional ballot, most of which aren't even counted. What we got is a lot of noise, a lot of clamor, a lot of anger on TV of people saying they weren't allowed to vote. What they didn't have is they didn't provide evidence. So what we're doing is we're going through and we're comparing mail-in ballot applications to whether they're qualified electors. During election day, anyone who's denied their right to vote, we don't want anybody getting into a fist fight in the polling stations. What we want them to do is say, okay, I'll follow the law. You're telling me I have to file a provisional ballot, but I'm also going to file a police report, called a Haver report. And there's a process that they'll be able to follow. They'll present that evidence going up the chain. And so we're going to have a ton of evidence and be able to say, well, this county, in order for them to certify the vote by December 10th, then they have to be able to reconcile. They have to have adjudicated all police reports. They've got to have processed the provisional ballots. They must reconcile. If they don't do that, they can't certify the vote. For people who are just joining, there's no deep state. There's no new world order, new society, as far as the council is concerned. There's only them. There's only their order. Everybody reports to them, and they have control over everybody. One of the downfalls, or one of their vulnerabilities, are whistleblowers, federal whistleblowers. So the city itself, the council, and the inspector general was set up particularly to have federal whistleblowers, report wrongdoing. So, that was the whole purpose. We had problems with Watergate. We created the SIGI and the council so that people would have some place to go to report corruption. So they've been the sui generis organization for the last 50 years that people are supposed to report corruption and criminal acts, whether they occur in this country or outside our borders or any place in the government. And if you look at President Trump and you look at who he is, he's the greatest whistleblower in history. He walked among them, not with them, but among them. He knows who they are. He knows what they've done. He knows how they work. If he didn't, he does now. But that is a huge threat to them, because in concert with the Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court, and the House Judiciary Committee, they have remedies that they can take to suspend and terminate the actions of the council and break their hold on this country and their extraction of wealth, and they're basically their wielding of power through political people. So if you look at Trump as the greatest whistleblower of all time, and he's coming in, then he would usher in hundreds of other federal whistleblowers that have been crushed financially, removed from their jobs, terminated, in some cases, murdered for attempting to, you know, have good governance. And one of the things, the premises here is that, you know, public service really is the heart of America. Nobody joins the military or the FBI, the NSA, the TSA, name an organization, the CIA. Nobody joins those government organizations to become a criminal or be beholden and work for criminals. They join for the public good. They join out of a sense of service, a sense of honor, a sense of country, you know, for their families, God. They join for all number of reasons to serve. And what this council has done is they've perverted that, and they've made these people afraid to stand up with good reason. But I think once people realize what a, you know, small group of criminals this is and how they operate, that they'll be able to be thwarted, you know, in their plans to extract wealth. We have FBI agents out there. We have people in the DOD, SES level, senior executive staff people. We have former deputies of organizations. We have people that are former members of the IG that have seen this in action and attempted to correct it, but they have no place to go. If you go to the political arm, which is described in the article, and they go to the Senate Oversight Committee, they run right into Chuck Grassley. He is of the council. They run into Jamie Raskin. He is of the council. They put them there and they've kept them there. So if they go to the Congress, they're stymied. If they go to the IG and they follow their chain of command, they lose their jobs. They lose their clearances. They lose their homes. So this is a situation that needs to be remedied. And President Trump could remedy this. And this brings up a point that, you know, from a retaliation standpoint, anybody who is an ally of, well, whether President Trump or an ally for the truth, anybody who speaks truth that could potentially expose them, they retaliate against. They retaliated against Roger Stone, General Flynn, Christina Bob, Joe Hoft, Steve Bannon. Steve Bannon's sitting in jail right now. Peter Navarro, the list goes on.
The key of illegals is so vital. And he's going to talk about that because it gives them more possible votes to rig the election with. And he's going to explain their strategy in that and what happens when the people try to root out evil, crime, and corruption. What happens to people? They destroy them. He's going to talk about that and the corruption of the election, how they're going to pull that off in this clip.
That strategy is called isolate, contain, and destroy. Their strategy into anybody who gets in their way is isolate, contain, and destroy. I don't care if you're the president of the United States or the president of another country. There's an awakening amongst a large part of the population. There's still part of the population that wants to keep their blue pill. They're building their own cages. I mean, people who haven't had any diversity, everything's going well for them. A big part of what I do is a matter of faith. and faith in God and faith in Christ. And I do what I, you know, and actually faith in people. I have a lot of faith in people. It's a very small group of people that, you know, spread a whole lot of evil around. But I believe that 90% of people agree in 80% of things. And, you know, in the writings and the things that we do and the election integrity efforts we've run, we take great pains not to to denigrate Democrats, because this isn't a Democrat-Republican problem. This is an American problem. After Hillary Clinton was installed, a group of people that were supporters of Bernie Sanders filed a case, and it was Wilding versus the DNC and Wasserman at the time. And what they did is, if you boil the case down, what the DNC said is, we can do whatever we want. It doesn't matter if Bernie Sanders won. If we want to install Hillary Clinton, we can. What the Democrats need to look at here, and Republicans, they need to look at how they're being manipulated. Did any Democrat get a choice of Hillary Clinton? No. I mean, Bernie Sanders won the primary, not Hillary. Did any Democrats get a say in the removal of Biden, who is effectively removed right now? Did anybody get a say in Kamala Harris and Waltz being installed into the presumptive nominee? I mean, Governor, I don't know anybody who made a choice of Governor Waltz. Do you? And I think once people see that, they go, well, who's calling the shots on that? It's the uniparty. It's the council. There are a small group of people calling the shots. Once you know who they are, and you kind of accept that. Part of the cognitive dissonance people have is they can't believe that they're just going to steal the election. They can't believe that, COVID could have possibly been meant to harm them. They go, I can't believe that our government would do that. Well, you saw prima facie evidence that they, whether they were involved in trying to murder President Trump and assassinate him, they certainly didn't do anything to stop it. So why is it such a hard leap to say that they'll steal an election? Why is it a hard leap to say that they would maybe develop a pandemic?
What are they going to do now?
Well, they're going to continue to cement the control. If we had a 24-hour clock and looked at how close they are at complete state capture, we're at about the last 3 minutes of a 24-hour clock. They have subverted the entire government. They have subverted or captured our schools. They've captured our economy. They've captured our law enforcement. They've denigrated our churches. They've personally been behind defund the police. They've been involved in opening the borders. And there's an insolence to this. I mean, for people who have watched Kamala Harris or watched Joe Biden on TV, I think they take great pleasure in saying, hey, we can put in Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head. So that is the illusion of choice. Well, we're going to have an election, but we're not going to let you see how we count it. We're taking the election. They've centralized our elections as an example. This is just one object of many. They've taken our elections, which were, we had 3,143 counties in the 50 states in the United States, 3,143. Of that, it only takes 20 to change the entire national election. It's a math problem. I just needed to go to those 20 counties, install centralized counting centers with only a handful of people managing and counting the vote, remove the counting in Delaware County, as an example where I live. We had over 3,000 people in 428 precincts counting the vote. Over 3,000. Now we have two political operatives that have been installed that are saying, don't worry, we're counting your votes, and we're going to let you all know how it works out. The CEO of Smartmatics has been implicated in malfeasance and corruption in Venezuela, here in the United States, and now the Philippines, are bribing Philippine officials. President Trump is really the solution here. For whatever people may feel about him personally, the fact that he's walked among them and he's been to battle with them now for 8 years, he's been at battle and war with them during his entire presidency. What can change things is we have a number of strategies we're implementing. You know, the counter strategy to isolate, contain, destroy is connect, engage, and restore. By connecting grassroots people together, you know, groups together, by engaging them, by explaining what's happening in our country, at least letting, you know, putting a hypothesis out that people can look at. What we do is we're connecting here. And President Trump, I think one of the big reasons they fear him is he's a connector and he can communicate. Having said that, I want people, we have to prepare people that the council and their political arms, their intelligence arms and so forth, they're constantly running shaping operations and they tell you what they're going to do if you listen. They've told us they're going to steal the election. And what we have to do is we don't have to say, woe is me, what are we going to do? We have to say, okay, they're going to steal the election. What do we do? Does the election end on November 5th or 6th, whatever day they announce Harris won? No. The election goes until December 10th, until they can certify, and they must show that they ran a lawful election to certify. So just simply announcing it in the press that Harris won is insufficient. We have Dan Bongino saying vote early. We have Mike Lindell saying, well, bring your mail-in ballot down and surrender it. We have all different people with all disparate plans because they're disconnected. They've been isolated. Part of being on the show today is to talk about the council, but to connect these people and say, look at, you know, for Dan Bongino, I think all of these people mean well and they've got their hearts in the right place, but they don't understand the election, the mechanisms, the election, and how fraud is implemented. So what they have to do is they, you know, I'm not going to go into the plan. We only have a few minutes left, but they have to know that there's a plan and they have to know that we're going to challenge the vote this time, or the results. So I'm going to use the election day as an example. When people come down to vote, and I do think Mike Lindell saying that, you know, they should bring their mail-in ballots, the in-person vote is it raises the level of difficulty for cheating if they show up and they don't know whether they're going to send the mail-in ballot in by mail or Dropbox.
No, I totally agree. This conservative thing to vote early is a lie.
When you go to surrender your ballot, it's not going to be that easy because the law says that if you haven't voted, they have to give you a real ballot and let you vote. Problem solved. But if they say someone's already voted for you and you're sitting there with your ballot and your ID and say, well, I don't know who that was. Well, I don't want people going on TV and whining about it and saying the vote was stolen. And what they have to do is we have to collect and we're going to collect the tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of police reports and HAVA reports, and we're going to document that these people, you know, were not allowed to vote, and there has to be a criminal act there. Somebody impersonated them. Somebody put in a ballot. That must be investigated and adjudicated before they can certify.
So some keys from that were, remember, don't vote early. Vote in person. It's vital. But then also, if someone has voted for you, which many people found out last time they came in to vote, no, you've already voted, so they give you that provisional ballot, but most of those are never counted. But you need to file a police report right then at that moment, and there'll be more details on his website about that. And then it documents that crime, and they have to investigate those crimes. Because when someone's already voted for you, that means someone committed a criminal act. And so if we can get tens of thousands of those being registered nationwide, they have to deal with all those before they can certify the vote. So it's just one way for us to try to do our part. But I also thought it was so interesting. He said there's 3,143 counties in America. And you only have to corrupt 20 of those to steal a presidential election. It's so rotten. It's so sad. But anyway, this last clip is him talking about illegals, what a key piece of the puzzle they are and why. And then I'll wrap things up.
I want to talk about, we only have a minute, but I want to mention the illegal aliens. And I think that it's a polarizing issue. And one of the things about illegal aliens is one of the last places an illegal alien is on election day is in a polling center. Okay, they're not going to go in and commit a third-degree felony that will get them deported permanently because they feel strongly about one candidate or the other. I'm not saying it doesn't happen. I think it will. But the reason they needed those illegal aliens on the voter registration, they registered them to vote in Pennsylvania and other states. They said, well, come on, get a license. And when you get a license, you know, we're going to register your vote. The illegal aliens aren't the ones doing the voting. They're being voted for. And part of the process that they're trying to denigrate is that before anyone can get a mail-in ballot, by federal and state laws, is they must be a qualified elector. That means they must be a citizen and they must be a resident of the location they're voting in. That's before they can even get a mail-in ballot. So with the counties, corrupt counties and corrupt states, and the DNC and the GOP are both responsible and culpable for this, they're ignoring that law and they're flouting that law. Now, here in Delaware County and across the state, we filed federal cases. Federal cases are put into place right now, objecting to election machines that aren't certified, objecting to mail-in ballots being illegally processed, objecting to not cleaning the voter rolls. And they're all in motion, and we're doing these things. But the point here is the problem isn't illegal aliens. The problem is people that are voting for them. By law, an illegal alien can't vote. You can register your pet cat Fluffy to vote. You can register your pet Purtle. You can register any breathing being to vote. But that doesn't mean they get a ballot. That doesn't mean they get to be on a voter registration roll. They may be registered to vote, but when it comes down to election day, you have to be a citizen. You have to be a qualified elector and a resident. Now, we have multiple ways of challenging that, and we've been fighting, quite frankly, in corrupt courts, and not all of them are corrupt. What we're looking for is we're waiting and looking for an honest judge, and we're going to find one. And we're waiting and looking for an honest district attorney, and we're going to find one. Of all the times in history, this is the best time to be alive, because it's a time of great choices and all the information at people's fingertips. And I think if God wanted to make sure that people were fully informed and making decisions of between right and wrong and making decisions for their family and making decisions for their future, this is the best time in history to be alive. I wouldn't want it any differently. I think what we have to look at, and people have to engage and participate and restore America, make America great. And the idea of American exceptionalism was a part of our fabric of our country long before President Trump. It's the fabric that President Trump grew up in and became wealthy in. And part of that is people need to feel empowered and engaged. And I'm telling, the reason I'm here today is you are. The small group of people, the big group of people we're fighting is very, very small. You know, when they say the deep state, they make it seem so big that there's nothing you can do, that it's a matter of fate. That's what we're dealing with, is we're dealing with the Wizard of Oz. Once people just take the blinders off, believe your own eyes, believe your own ears, look at President Trump as someone, he's done everything he could. He can't do anymore. I think that he may even secretly, he wouldn't say it, but I think he may realize that they're going to take the election from him again. And he's done all he could. It's time for us to do something. It's time for the American public to show up. That's what we're asking you to do. If you're sitting on the beach and taking selfies and pictures of what you had for lunch and pictures of your feet,
you got a problem.
The ocean, well, what you're doing is the devil will sit there and anybody that, you know, the devil will make people's lives comfortable. Everything's fine until that cage you've created for yourself, the door shuts. And that's it. The country's gone. We're at war. You know, your children have lost their lives. They've been denied an education. Your parent or your grandparents died alone in a hospital, you know, sitting in a mask and you couldn't get in the door. If you don't think we're in a fight and you don't think politics matter and you don't think we're at a war, then be happy in your cage and they'll shut it. And, you know, at some point, and then you won't be happy. But if it's so simple, and it is so simple, that if 90% of you show up, go to the poll and vote 90%. That's what we need. Right now, we only get 60%.
I thought that was interesting, too. There, most illegals probably won't vote because that's a felony. But the votes that are the registration cards are there that they could use and corrupt the vote with, which is a crime. It's what happened in 2020. 2022 is felony criminal charges against all the people involved, and nothing happened. But we need to pray that God will expose the evil where justice can be served so people see there's consequences to what you do. But I hope this was educational. We need to get involved locally. We need to educate others one person at a time, share these videos and other things. You need to just keep praying for Trump, our country, your local community specifically, that pastors would step up, that people's eyes would, the curtain would be pulled back and they'd see the lies being told. Please keep us in your prayers as we're traveling and trying to do our part to wake the troops and inspire, educate, and motivate those that love God and love our country to stand up and to live not by lies. I appreciate you so much. Our verse for this week is Proverbs 14:34. This is the Bible verse that's on the tomb of Sergeant Alvin York, the Congressional Medal of Honor winner from World War I. There's an old movie, Sergeant York. If you haven't seen it, rent it and watch it with your family this Friday night for family night or whatever. It's one of my favorites ever, Sergeant York. But this, when I went to visit his tomb in Tennessee, it didn't say Congressional Medal of Honor winner. It didn't say all the things it could have said. It just said this: righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. We want to be righteous. It helps exalt our nation, and God looks down and is pleased. And then those that are doing the sin and the wickedness, he is more likely to step up and crush them under his fist. But I always loved that verse, but it was special when I saw that's what Sergeant York decided. That's all I need to say on my tombstone in any way. But I appreciate you joining me. I hope you're doing well. And until next week, God bless you.
Welcome to Agenda Weekly. We invite you to join us for an overview of the news from a conservative Christian perspective. You may be familiar with a weekly video podcast from Curtis Bowers, but Agenda Weekly is much more than that. Every Friday, we provide a written summary of the most important news events from America and around the world. We don't just cover the bad news. We find the often overlooked encouraging stories, because we all need some good news. Additional resources include informative videos and articles to dig deeper, a featured hymn of the week, essential prayer points, and specific actions to take personally and in your community. For only $5 a month, less than a cup of coffee, you can subscribe to receive the most comprehensive news source available. Our goal is to save you time, expose the agenda behind the news, and equip you to make an impact right where you are. Subscribe today at agendaweekly.com.